The Bible reading this morning is from Nehemiah chapter 4. So I'm going to read the passage for us. Nehemiah 4. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even if a fox climbs up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead, and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving up, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes."
We continue our reading from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work, with half the men holding spears, from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and as workers by day. Neither I nor my brothers, nor my men, nor my guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water." This is God's word.
Well, good morning, church. It's wonderful to be here with you, and thank you for joining us this morning. If you have your Bibles, please keep it open to Nehemiah chapter 4. We are going to spend some time looking at this. But before we do, please join with me as I lead us in a short word of prayer. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to commit this precious time to your gracious hands. And ask, Father, that you be at work wherever we are through your Spirit working in us. And Father, helping us to understand and also to put these words into practice. We ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read the book of Nehemiah, one of the things that we constantly confront or things that we won't miss is prayer. The book begins with prayer and it ends with prayer. And prayer is scattered everywhere along these chapters. And as we said a couple of weeks ago, it is okay. It is okay for us to come to God when we are in need. God doesn't put us away. But how does prayer work? That's what I want to look at with you this morning. How does prayer work? The completed wall around Jerusalem would have given the people a sense of security, a sense of pride, a sense of identity. It may have given people a bit of a boost. But after that wall of fame in chapter 3, in chapters 4 to 6, Nehemiah actually takes us to the work site. We hear the stories, we hear the pain, we hear the struggles, and we see how God is at work. And as we read chapter 4, we cannot miss two things. There is this intensifying battle that is going on. And in the middle of this battle, there's prayer at work. Let's first have a look at this battle. In verses 1 to 3, when they hear that the wall is being built, Sanballat and Tobiah, the enemies of the Jews, they become very angry and they begin to ridicule and mock the workers. And then we find Tobiah, he's just ridiculing the strength of the wall. He says, you see, that wall that you're building is so powerless. It's so weak. Even a fox can jump over it and it's going to collapse. And Tobiah, Sanballat, he talks about the builder's ability. How are you going to build this wall? You feeble, weak Jews. Are you going to bring life into this rubble, this burnt down, charred timber? Can you build in one day? You see this constant taunting and ridiculing. You may have experienced this kind of thing in your life. At work or at school or at home, this constant putting down, constant undermining, making you feel inferior, and the comments, the passing hints, the lack of appreciation, the discouragement, the unfair treatment, the bullying and the gossiping that happens around you. And again in verses 7 to 8, halfway through the work, we hear the battle is intensifying. Sanballat and Tobiah, they are joined by the Arabs and the men of Ashdod. The verbal abuse is followed by plots of physical harm to the workers. Come down to verses 11 to 12. The workers are in danger of stopping the work halfway through. The people are discouraged by seeing the rubble, piles of rubble lying around. The workers are tired of seeing the rubble and just jumping over the rubble. And then we are told that they were afraid to work. Why? Because they are hearing this constant threat, this news, these rumors, these gossips about this attack. The talk of the town was about this newest threat, that somehow Sanballat and his men, his enemies, they're going to come in between and kill them and cause trouble. They would have probably asked one another in the street corners, is it worth all the effort? The sacrifice, the time, the energy that we are putting into this, is it all worth? Do we really want to get killed? Do we want to see our families being targeted? Our houses, our businesses, our reputation, our whatever we have, do we want to lose them all because of this stupid wall that we are building? And you see, they were willing to stop the work halfway through because they were discouraged. Maybe you have had that feeling as well. You've been working hard day and night, but the work is never ending. It seems like an uphill battle. There's no appreciation, there's no encouragement. And then you think, is this all worth it? Am I just wasting my time? And you want to give up. And this is where Nehemiah found his people ready to give up, throw in the towel. There is a battle, you see, not only outside the walls, but there is a battle within the walls, the battle of discouragement. So how did Nehemiah respond? And we shouldn't be surprised, friends, to know that he responded with prayer. In verses 4 to 5, when he hears the mocking, he doesn't shout back. No, he prays. In verse 9, when he hears about the physical threats before posting guards, what does he do? He prays. Prayer was not his last resort. No, that was his first response. Prayer was not just a spare wheel that you find in the back of your car. No, it was the steering wheel that drove Nehemiah. So in verses 4 to 5, we hear this very honest prayer, don't we? It is an uncomfortable, awkward prayer where Nehemiah is basically asking God, just punish them, just destroy them, get rid of them. And he's praying this prayer in front of the people because this is a national disgrace and this is a national prayer. But if you look at chapter 1, his personal prayer before he approached the king, it is no different, isn't it? He was very honest with God with his prayers. Which means, friends, we should be comfortable to come to God with our prayers as we are. We should be comfortable bringing our feelings, our frustrations, our worries, our weaknesses, our hardships, our struggles to God. We must be able to come to God and honestly tell him what we would like him to do, our desires, our hopes. And God is not going to be frustrated or surprised hearing our rants, because God is the one who gave us words to express our feelings back to him. And he's so big, friends, he's not going to get offended. But he would love for you and me to come as we are and to be honest with him in our prayers. But how does prayer work? That is the main question that we are looking at, isn't it? And as we have seen earlier in the chapters, we see God goes to work when his people pray. You see, the workers didn't stop working here in this instance. They never got attacked. The wall didn't break down as they expected. And it was very evident even to the enemies in verse 15 that God had frustrated their plot. And since we know the end of the story, we know the wall got built in record time. There was nothing that could stop the work of God. You see, prayer works. God answers our prayers according to His sovereign will, His purpose, and according to His perfect timing. God changes the circumstances. God changes the outcome. But there is more, isn't it? Through prayer, God actually changes us, the prayer. It changed Nehemiah. It changed the people of Judah. And I want to point three ways it changes us. You see, prayer gives us a right perspective of God and our surroundings, our struggles. The reason Nehemiah turned to God in prayer was because he saw there was much more going on under the surface than what he could see. And we would not be wrong in assuming that Nehemiah saw this spiritual battle that was raging behind the scenes, where Satan and his hordes are trying to stop the work of God. And this is what the Apostle Paul talks about in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, isn't it? When he says, our battle, friends, is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Friends, spiritual attacks against God's people is so very real. It could take all sorts of forms. Discouragement, disappointment, discontentment, laziness, anger, and then you find family matters or illnesses, war and division. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13 to 17 calls the believers to put on the full armor of God to stand against the schemes of the devil. But if you look at verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, after this whole section of the full armor of God, the best weapon to fight against the schemes of the devil is prayer. He says, pray in the Spirit in all circumstances, praying in all kinds of prayers. Why? Because we need God, friends, in our battles. None of the armor that we are going to put on is going to work unless we are connected to God through prayer. Nehemiah in chapter 4, in verse 14, he calls the people and he calls them and says, hey guys, don't be afraid. Why? Not because you have a strategy, not because we have soldiers and guards and weapons. No, he says, remember the Lord, our God, who is great and awesome. Remember who He is. Behold our God, the great God of heaven and earth. And verse 20, he says that our God will fight for us. You see, friends, when we pray, our hearts, our ears, our eyes, our minds, they are being tuned to God, isn't it? It gives us the ability to see our problems through God's eyes. It gives us spiritual eyes to see God fighting our battles. It gives us the ability to see that God will win our battles. Why? Because He has fought our battles 2,000 years ago on that cruel cross, and He won against Satan. So we know that He will win our battles. And the second thing I want us to note is prayer doesn't stop us from being active. Just because they prayed, here Nehemiah didn't sit and wait. See verse 6, after prayer, they kept building. Again, in verse 9, we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. And verse 13 to the end of the chapter, we see how Nehemiah is making plans, putting strategies. And he's encouraging the leaders and the people, and he is installing a trumpeter, and he is giving them instructions what to do, and he is putting a roster for builders and workers and guards. You see, prayer didn't stop him from working, and prayer shouldn't stop us from working, from being active. Prayer should move us to work. Prayer should bring us to our feet. Preparing and serving and caring and thinking and planning and strategizing for the future. Because friends, prayer works. For the past few years, I have been praying for our neighbors in Ireland Street, and which means I'm constantly looking for opportunities. I'm constantly looking for opportunities to share Jesus. And that's what prayer does, isn't it? It gives us, it makes us active, it makes us work, because we know God is at work. The third thing I want us to notice is prayer changes the way we live. Verses 16 to 23 shows that in the middle of this battle, everyone had to live differently. Like what we have to do right now in the middle of this pandemic, we have to change the way we live. Our hygiene practices, the way we meet, the distances that we have between each other. In verse 17, you see, it says, those who carried material and they did work with one hand, and then they carried a weapon in the other. Verse 18, each of the builders wore his sword at the side as he worked. Verse 19 to 20, they had to be prepared to respond when the trumpet sound happens. Verses 21 to 22, there was this commitment to care for one another. People who worked at night, they worked during the day, and who worked during the day, they worked at night. And verse 23, and neither nor me or my brothers or my guards who were with me, they took off their clothes. They would have stunk. But that is not the point. The point is to say that they had to change the way they lived. And here he says, each had to carry their weapon even when they went to drink water. There was this preparedness, readiness for battle, readiness to serve one another. Their way of life changed. I think one of the things that will begin to change in us is, as we spend more and more time in prayer, is that God will change the way we live. God will continue to change the way we think, the way we behave, the way we speak. We will become more and more aware of the spiritual battles that is raging around us. We will be transformed into the image and the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, because God goes to work not only in our surroundings, but He goes to work in us when we pray. So let us remember, friends, as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle. And as the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, your enemy, the devil, is prowling around you like a lion looking for someone to devour. You see, my battle is different to yours. My temptations, my weaknesses, my troubles, they're all different to yours. But we have a God who fights for us. And He calls us to come to Him in honest prayer. Because prayer works. God changes our circumstances. He changes the outcomes. He gives victory from our battles. And at the same time, the same God is at work in us. So let us come to God in all our battles, friends. Let us find Him at work, not only changing our circumstances, but changing us to be more and more like Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this opportunity for us to come to You. And we come to You knowing full well, Lord, that You are awesome and great. We come to You knowing that You will fight for us, because for Christians, Father, we know that You have fought for us 2,000 years ago on that cross. And You have won the battle. So we know the victory is Yours. But Father, as we come, help us, Father, not to be the same as before. Change us. Transform us. And Father, make us more and more like Jesus, Your Son. And as we go out into this week, let us go with these words of 1 Peter chapter 5. And the God of all grace, who called you into His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, He Himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen.